That's the end of the book of Revelation. And that's also the end of the Bible. It brings us to a glorious ending. If you're listening to it closely, and if you also try to picture the vision that God gave to us, what did you see at the end? A city with a river coming right in the middle. And the beginning of the river starts from the throne of God. And on both sides of the river are trees. Something special about the trees, they bear fruits every month. What does that tell you? Fertile soil, a place that is full of life, that it blossoms every month. A place that's full of expectation, and those expectations will be met every month. That is a garden city that God promises us. When is the last time we saw a city like that, that is full of life? The water of life flow right in the middle of the city, and everybody who's in it are satisfied. When is the last time we saw that city? At the beginning of the Bible, when you first open it, God created everything good. He created that garden for humanity, and he said everything he created is good. When he created you, he said, is very good. His plan for us from the beginning to the end is good. He is a good God. He wants you to flourish. He wants you to have abundant life from beginning to end. That's his heart for you. That's the God we worship. But to get from there to the glorious ending, we saw a very painful process. As we are reading the book of Revelation, I think even for tonight, in the middle of it, you hear a lot of disasters, earthquakes, hails, and plagues. We call it in the Revelation, the seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls. The disaster escalate. At first, only one third of the earth is being affected. But at the end, the entire earth, God's wrath pour out. No one is spared. During this type of painful process, it's very common for people to ask, is God really good? Is he still in control? Is he with me? Why doesn't he do something right now? You know what? 2,000 years ago, when the Christians who witnessed the death and resurrection of Jesus, they raised the same questions. Is Jesus going to deliver? Is he the true Messiah? Is he capable? The first century church, they responded to their own difficulty and own difficult circumstances in a various of ways. If you go back to the beginning of Revelation, you saw how these first century churches responded to the difficult times. And when I look at their response, I realize we are like them. Pergamum church, they are worldly. They decided following God is not going to guarantee a smooth life. Why don't I just follow the world? Why don't I just chase after the enjoyment, personal satisfaction like everybody else is doing? Ephesus, the church lost their first love. They become self-centered. They only care for themselves. There's helpless people everywhere, and I cannot do much about it, so maybe I should just care about myself. Laodicea, lukewarm. They rely on their own strength. They rely on their bank account. They rely on money, thinking that's the way to guarantee a way out in the midst of uncertainty and chaos. Thyatira. They realize following Jesus, he said he's resurrected, he said he's coming soon, but how come? My life is still difficult. They decided to follow false teachers. Teachers who promised them, just follow me, everything is going to be fine. So they take a short route, they follow the false teachers. Oh, and I remember Sardis. Sardis is an interesting church. If you go to their worship service, you saw they are very vibrant in their worship. But Jesus said, you are spiritually dead. Your inside is dead. Wow. People come to worship, but they can be spiritually dead. What does that mean? Coming to church becomes something that they are used to doing. So when they come, they don't have any expectation to meet God. Sometimes they even come to church for other purposes. I'm going to meet somebody who may be able to grow, help me grow my business. I'm going to come to this church to make some connections. Five out of the seven churches that Jesus talked to at the very beginning of the book of Revelation, they compromise the faith. Majority of us today also compromise our faith in different ways like them. We follow the world. We are self-centered. We rely on our own strength. We try to follow philosophy or follow teachers that the teachings are easy to follow, are nice to our ears. And we also live a spiritually dead life. But Jesus did not give up, even though five out of seven churches disappoint him. Instead, this God who has a good plan for us from the beginning to the end decided to show the church the vision that they need to know everything to make up their mind today. And that is the vision that we heard. We, like the first century church, we also need to make up our mind today. Have you been coming for a long time, but you remain undecided? Have you not yet accepted Jesus as your Savior, or you felt like, I don't want to go baptized because I am not ready? Let me tell you, you will never make yourself ready. When I look back to my own spiritual journey, a lot of times I thought I make that decision. I thought I'm ready. But when I look back, I realize it's not me being ready. It's God extending an invitation to me, which I only said yes, and He makes me ready. We are never able to make ourselves ready to go to the next stage, but we only say yes to God, and He makes us ready. And so when you're indecision, you actually make a decision already. Your decision is to follow the world. When I follow the world, what I'm meaning is that I thought I am able to live a best life without God. I am able to live my best life here and now. I am able to live my best life in a place. That place can be a university that I wanted to go into. It can be a company that I wanted to work in. It could be a country that I wanted to spend some time in. I always thought my best life is oriented in a place I wanted to be. But Revelation say that our best life is rooted in a person. Your best life is rooted in a person because your destiny is a person. It's a very urgent message because in the book of Revelation, the last chapter, there is a phrase that Jesus keeps repeating. He said, I am coming soon. Three times. I am coming soon. Surely, I am coming soon. You need to make a decision today because this is urgent. The one who created the heaven and earth, the one who have a good ending at the end is saying, I am coming soon. There's limited time for you to make that decision. The timing of his coming is unknown, but the future is certain. He is going to come. And so our best life and our destiny is rooted in a person. The end of the world is a person we are going to meet, and he called himself Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. In the middle of chaos, he is in control. And so in our today life, if we wanted to know what we are doing, if we wanted to live our best life, is not just me, myself, getting ready. It's to know the one who is in control and who is above the chaos. And that's why at the end of the revelation, the prayer said, "Come, Lord Jesus." This prayer actually means, I know my destiny is wrapped up in your plan. And I know that your glorious ending is going to come. And even now as I'm waiting, your glory is able to shine through me if I say yes to you, if I join in this prayer of, Lord Jesus, come soon. What does that mean for you today? When you join in this prayer, when you said, come, Lord Jesus, you are saying yes to him. You are saying yes to Jesus. I want to follow you wholeheartedly. It could mean something like this. Say yes to Jesus. Accept him to be your personal savior. That's your yes. Baptize this year. That is your yes to him, because you realize your destiny is in his hands. Serve in a church and make the church your spiritual home. That is your yes to him. In all your yes to him, you are allowing him to have his glory shine through you. And that's the way we join in the prayer when we say, come, Lord Jesus, because that's the right thing to ask for in the middle of uncertainty. We will never know how to live our best life if we thought the destination is a place. Only when we realize our destination is a person, we will realize to live a best life, we need to pray, Lord Jesus, come. Church, I'll close with a prayer. Please join me in prayer. Abba Father, as we start the new year in worship, I pray that you will give us this urgency. We've been waiting for a long time. We came to church with our parents, with our friends. We always felt like, I'll be ready someday. I'll receive you when I'm ready. Father, give us this urgency to realize we do not make ourselves ready. You make us ready. So I pray that you will change us, transform us to be able to join in that prayer of the church saying, come, Lord Jesus, and we will make up our mind today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.